Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superman Homepage Live, brought to you by SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. In this, our April 22, 2024, we're going to be covering a range of topics, including the fact that I've got my co-host back, Michael Bailey, that we've got stuff to do with the Superman movie, with casting of Martha and Jonathan Kent. We've got editing happening. We've got the final season of Superman and Lois finishing up. We've got a preview or a trailer, a teaser for the second season of My Adventures with Superman. So much going on. We've got our regular series that we're doing of the costume analysis with Mark Lax. We have got so much to get through, but let me welcome back my co-host, Michael Bailey. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how's it going, Steve?
Doing well. Missed you, buddy.
I missed you all as well. I really did. It's been a weird couple of months. But I'm at a position now where I can actually come and do this again. So, but you know, it's got a lot of reading done. Met Jeff Loeb. That was nice.
Nice.
At a convention. Met Tom Milling again. He was lovely as usual. So no, it was fantastic.
Excellent. Well, yes, as I mentioned, it's been a while since we've had you on the show. Mark has done a great job filling in for you. He's even welcoming you back right now in the comments. He will be joining us later on. But let remind everybody that tonight's show is thankfully and proudly sponsored by our patrons. We've got Douglas Meacham, John Patrick Van Pelt, and Tina Murray. And I want to thank them for their support. And if folks want to join those fine folks and sponsor the show or be patrons of the show, then they can click the join button below on YouTube. There are different levels of membership with different levels of perks. Or they can go to patreon.com/supermanhomepage, where there are, again, different levels of membership with different levels of perks. But Mike, how do fans get involved in tonight's show?
It's really easy. All they have to do is go to supermanhomepage.com/live. And they click on the call now button. And I'm doing this all from memory. I'm not even screwing it up yet. This is fantastic. There they can wait in the green room and watch the show. If we have time about halfway through the show, we'll bring them in. Or they can use their smartphone and scan the QR code that's right next to me. It says scan me. It's pretty convenient. If you are using your computer to watch this and you want to get on the show, please mute your sound if you're using an external speaker, because we're on a bit of a delay and that screws things up. And if you're using your smartphone, please use a headset or ear pods or whatever, because there is a weird crackling sound that we can't figure out.
Just the gremlins in the system. But yeah, make sure you do those things. But if you're a little bit shy and you don't want to get on the show tonight to speak to us, then feel free to participate in the comments, both there on YouTube and Facebook. Michael and I can react to the comments and questions that you might ask, and we will be able to respond to those. But if you would like your comment or question featured on the screen during the show, that's called a super chat. All you do is click the dollar symbol there on YouTube. A slider will appear on your screen, and you decide on the dollar amount you're willing to donate, so we will feature your comment or question live on the screen as we go along tonight. Well, without further ado, let's get into tonight's topics. Oh, before I do that, some housekeeping. I've got some tradespeople coming next week to disconnect some power because we're replacing some fascias and things on our front of our house. And they said they're going to be done in the morning in a couple of hours, but I don't want to say that we're going to have a show next week and then be without power and be unable to respond and do the show. So we're going to take a... I know Michael's only been back for like 5 minutes already, but we're going to be no show next week due to the fact that it looks likely that I won't have any electricity and internet. So for a couple of hours, don't want to chance it. So no show next week. We will be back the following week. I think it's the... What is it? The 6th of... May or something like that.
Yeah, Monday. it'll be the 6th.
Yeah, so no show, or the 4th. What is it? One or the other. Anyway, it's the first Monday in May.
Yes.
First Monday in May. Okay, let's just leave it at that. So yeah, no show next week. So the first Monday in May, we will be doing obviously our final segments that we do at the end of each month. So just make sure that you don't come looking for a show next Monday night, because there won't be one. Just for those kind of reasons. Also, just wanted to ask Michael, Do you remember the last time you were on the show, how many subscribers we said we were at roughly?
I forget. I do not remember that. I apologize.
No, that's cool.
A lot's happened since then.
Yeah, I think we were around the 15,000 mark, and we were kind of celebrating that. Guess how many we have now?
100,000?
50,000. Close.
Okay.
You overshot the mark by double. But yeah, 50,000 subscribers in just a couple of months is awesome. So we just crossed the 50,000 mark last night. So welcome to all our new subscribers. We are getting the bundles time and time again. And we've had hundreds and hundreds of what people watching the show each week. So we are very thankful for our live viewers, and we love the people who come back each week to make sure that they are part of tonight's show. We love having your company. So make sure if you're right there now watching us live, give us a thumbs up, post a comment, just say hi, whatever it might be. We want to hear from you. Make sure that we see that you're there, and let the algorithm know that this is a live stream that is happening with people watching and tuning in. So make sure you do that right now.
Is it because I left? I mean, that's like 15,000 people in subscribers in several months. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's like 35,000 since you left. So, no, it's I think I've just been doing a lot of shorts and things that have kind of got a lot of eyes in front of our channel, and that's kind of translating into people deciding to subscribe to the show. I just wish more of them would watch our long-form videos and, you know, not just so much the shorts.
People like bite-sized stuff.
Short attention span.
It used to, which is weird because it's, even though it may go away soon, TikTok, it's kind of switched now. People are now doing more long-form videos, and those are getting bigger views than before. It was, you want to be out of like in 30 seconds. So I think there's a medium that's starting to hit. Where, you know, they may not want like an hour and a half, but they want more than like 30 seconds. So,
yeah, no, we've had millions of hits on some of our shorts. So, yeah, very happy about that. All right, so let's get into tonight's topics. We're looking at the movie side of things, where the cast of Superman, the upcoming 2025 movie, can't call it Superman Legacy anymore. I think that was the last time you were on the show, we were still calling it Superman Legacy, but it's now called Superman. And we've got Martha and Jonathan Kent, not officially confirmed yet, but everyone's been reporting on it. We have Pruitt Taylor Vince cast as Jonathan Kent. Your thoughts on his casting first and foremost?
I am vaguely familiar with him.
Yes.
Oddly enough, it's his older stuff that I'm more familiar with than his more contemporary stuff. He was wasn't like a huge character, but he was in a movie called Mississippi Burning, which oddly enough starred Gene Hackman.
Yep.
And just looking at him and looking at the other actor we're going to be talking about, this is really against type in the films. Somebody mentioned. And several people actually mentioned on Facebook and other social medias that he had kind of like an Eddie Jones vibe, like it was more Lois and Clark, Jonathan Kent. And I'm like, well, if that's the vibe they're going for, that's fantastic.
100%. Yeah, he's not he's no John Schneider. He's no Kevin Costner. They definitely are going away from that, you know, rugged, good-looking Jonathan Kent that we've had in more modern times. But I was very much like you. It's very much from like the Lois and Clark, you know, the bit more of a pudgy type of farmer situation. Even in, Superman for All Seasons and some of the other comic books, he's not necessarily this, you know, thin, younger Jonathan. He's more of that, you know, slightly overweight, weathered gentleman. But so yeah, it's interesting. He's always been cast as a bit of a, not necessarily a villain, but kind of an odd type of character.
Know,
The Walking Dead, Stranger Things, those kinds of things that he's been in. He hasn't necessarily been, you know, a lovable character. So that's an interesting choice, but I'm not saying that he can't play that, but it did come out of left field for me. And then the other one was obviously the Martha side of things, Neva Howell. Very much fits again that Hey Callan type of feel about Martha and fits the Jonathan that we've got.
Yeah, and it's really nothing against Phyllis Thaxter or Kay Callan, who are both, you know, wonderful Martha Kents. Thank you for not casting somebody that I had a crush on when I was a teenager. You know, they did like Smallville did it with Annette O'Toole, and then like Snyder doubled down on that with Diane Lane. No, I love that you mentioned a minute or two ago about like For All Seasons, and Martha was not Diane Lane or Annette O'Toole in that. She wasn't even Kay Callan or Phyllis Thaxter. I think they're really going for a more, I don't want to say real, because that term gets thrown around with these movies, and you know, like some of the fans of Man of Steel, you like weaponized it almost. But just having these two kind of real people, like one, it's obvious Clark is adopted. you look at David Corenswet and just like, no, he didn't. Like was there a drifter that came through town, Martha, about, you know, like maybe 25 years ago? But I love that, and it's something that James Gunn does very well with his films that I've seen, is that he casts people that fit the character. And looking at this, I don't know how involved, you know, we don't know how involved any of these characters are going to be in the film. Outside of the fact that, you know, we now know that Lex Luthor is the villain because they kind of bullied him into revealing that. But they're, and you know, Nostalgia Podblast in the comments mentions that they're character actors. So they're characters. They're not CW good looking. Doesn't mean that they're not attractive in their own ways. It's just they're not what you would traditionally think of. So having them as his parents kind of makes it more of a folksy type of Smallville.
Yep. Yeah, definitely more grounded in just, like, I know you said realistic, but they're not, as you say, the CW good looking, you know, known faces that we've, you know, had in Diane Lane and Kevin Costner. So it's very much, as you said, character actors. So I'm looking forward to seeing. We don't know how much they'll be a part of the film. They haven't been announced as officially being cast. And so they may not even be somebody that they're going to include in the cast list from a point of view of press releases and things like that, because they're bit players in the roles that they are going to be in. So we'll wait and see. But yeah, interesting choices. James Gunn and the cast of Superman have been active online, and we saw on Superman's, or the anniversary of Action Comics number one release date. Now, I saw you and many other people, including DC Comics, calling it Superman Day. Officially, Superman Day is June 22nd as far as DC Comics was concerned, but hey, you know what? Every day is Superman Day as far as I'm concerned.
I insist on calling it Greek Orthodox Superman Day. It works on the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian calendar. Actually, I didn't really get into it with somebody, but somebody was just like, no, this is the day because this is the day Action Comics number one. And, you know, I don't care what DC Comics says. And I'm like, well, you're kind of making my point for me, since it was the church that established December 25th. You know, isn't that kind of the same thing? But I love that it's become a thing. And that really started to 2018, I think it was the 80th anniversary that they made a big deal, because that was the date that they released Action 1000. I don't normally do much for it, but this year I decided I'm just going to go all in, and I was posting stuff all day.
I
even had memes built in case they announced the costume, but I didn't have to use any of them.
You can hold them up, hold them in store. But yeah, I think it was only since the like April 18th was never really confirmed as Action Comics number one release date until the court case, when they were going through the whole copyright thing with the Siegel families and all that kind of stuff, that it came to light from some of the documents that were released as part of that court case, that April 18th was the actual release date of Action Comics number one back in 1938. Obviously, it does have a June cover date, but we know all about how cover dates work. But so, yeah, on April 18th this year, James Gunn and David Corenswet and Rachel Brosnahan, this photo was posted of the trio reading comic books from across the many eras of Superman. We've got Superman number one there. I think I wrote down which the other one was in the middle. It's Action Comics 114 and obviously All-Star Superman number one that Rachel is holding. And I mean, that's just, you know, whether they're actually reading those comics or they're just obviously posing for this particular photo, but they have been reading comic books. I've seen a lot of people going, and none of them read a thing. And I'm thinking, no, we've already heard Rachel Brosnahan say in multiple interviews that she has been reading lots of comic books to, you know, familiarize herself with the role. And I mean, it's not uncommon for actors to do research on a character, whether it's a character that's written for the movie or it's a known character that's been around for a while. They commonly do research on the roles that they're playing. So I don't understand why people think that this is such an uncommon thing or think that, you know, it's facetious.
Yeah, and like, do you think that the shots of Kirk Allen or Bud Collier or even Christopher Reeve in that episode of The Muppets, that they were actually reading that book? No, they gave him a prop because it's a cool thing to do. I honestly think that one picture of Bud Collier is real because I don't think he'd ever really looked at the comics. He's just like, what is this? but no, you know, it's very, like, some actors don't. Like, Tyler Hoechlin has been pretty open that he's never read any of the comics because he wants to do his own kind of take on it, which is fine. And since it's interesting that he hasn't read anything and yet is getting so many things right. And I remember back when X-Men, the first X-Men film was coming out, Bryan Singer didn't want Hugh Jackman reading anything, but Kevin Feige and a couple people were like sneaking him X-Men comics to read. It doesn't, like, there's this kind of gatekeeping from a certain segment of the fandom about it. Like, though they're not real, they're not reading the comics. And it's just like, they're actors. They do their own research and they come to their characters the way they come to. Like, if Rachel Brosnahan is saying that she's been reading comics, then I believe her. You know, she has no reason to lie.
Or then there's those people who are going, well, obviously this movie doesn't know what it's going to be doing because they're reading comic books from over 85 years of history. So it's going to be so convoluted and mixed up because they're not going with one continuity. It's too broadly. It's like, what the, are you, that's, come on. What a stretch.
I honestly, like, have you never watched Batman the Animated Series? Like, that pulled from many different eras and it worked as a cohesive whole. The fact that, you know, Superman Returns was so much of a love letter to the Donner Superman, the movie. And Man of Steel, in many ways, was kind of a reaction to that. Like, we're going to do something that is completely different. We're going to chart our own course. We're going to use bits and pieces because apparently Snyder likes that. But it's really going to be more of its own thing. And this one seems to be like, you know, we've got 85 years of comics and movies and stuff to pull from. Why not pull the good things from everything and make it work? And here's the thing. It all works. Because I was watching somebody talking about the symbol. Because, of course, I wasn't on when they revealed the symbol on my birthday. It was my birthday. Thank you. And somebody was just like, well, now that I know it's not my Superman, it's not the Superman, it's a variant. And I'm like, you know what? They're all variants.
Exactly.
There is no platonic ideal of Superman. They're all different versions from the comics to the movies to the television to animation. There is no one definitive take on the character. There is a definitive take for you as a fan, which is fair. But objectively, when you look at this, it's just like the Superman that existed in 1938 bears very little resemblance outside of the costume to the Superman that existed 10 years later.
100%. So, no true canon, Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I am so glad I wasn't on that week because I would not have been able to control myself. I was so mad.
Well, talking about Zack Snyder, he actually had some comments in a couple of interviews that he's just recently given promoting his new film, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver on Netflix, which I'm in the middle of watching at the moment. Got to take it in bite sizes. The director of Man of Steel, obviously, Batman v Superman, Justice League, is saying that he's excited about James Gunn's upcoming Superman film. He said, and James Gunn himself said, yeah, I didn't know that he said that, but I already knew it because he's texted me. He's been incredibly supportive throughout this process. So, it's no surprise, people, that the two of them are friends. Didn't James Gunn write the script for one of Snyder's very early films?
Yeah, he wrote the early drafts, and they brought in some people to do some rewrites later, but he wrote the early drafts of the Dawn of the Dead remake that was Snyder's directorial debut. You know, it's just, so the comments that he made to the side, I think we really need to put aside this idea that there's this Jets versus Sharks high school drama in Hollywood. These guys are about the same age. They have very different ways of approaching the material, but that doesn't mean that, you know, Zack Snyder, there's nothing good for Zack Snyder to come out and say, oh, this is going to suck. There's no upside for that for him. He's got many other ways to stir the pot, as we've seen.
100%. He sure does. So, we can put that aside. Everyone can relax and rest easy. It's not Zack Snyder versus James Gunn. It's not. It may maybe that way for some fans, but it's just not reality. But, talking about James Gunn, he's revealed that he's already doing some early editing. And when somebody said to him, is that normal to do that? He said, yeah, when shooting a movie for 5 months, it's really normal to edit. I can pick up shots if I need to, but more importantly, I can start turning shots over to visual effects so they'll be awesome by the time we lock the picture. Most films are put into theaters with subpar effects because the edits were rushed. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't surprise me when, you know, everything's digital. So it's not like the old days where you had to have strips of film like all over the place, and you're literally cutting film into place. It would make so much sense to start working on a scene and then go, you know what, this isn't clear, this isn't, we've got everybody here still, so let's get the reshoot now instead of doing it 6 months later where it might not look the same. So it doesn't surprise me that he's doing that. I mean, God bless him. I mean, because this is in addition to everything else he's doing for DC Studios.
That's right. That's right. Yep. He's doing a lot of other things. He's got his finger in many pies there at DC Studios. And there was an interview just posted before the show. Well, it's been posted up, I think, a day or two. But I just posted news about it on our website in regards to Justin Howell, the stunt performer who is acting as David Corenswet's stunt double. He did an interview with Be More Super on YouTube, revealing some interesting details. He said that it looks like they're wrapping filming at the end of July, which when James Gunn just said when you're doing production for 5 months. So if you think that for production started on February 29th on your birthday, you got March, April, May, June, July, that's 5 months. That's pretty much bang on. So end of July, looks like they'll be wrapping filming. They go into post-production with the visual effects, the scoring and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure they might do some pickups here or there along the way. But he also said that David Corenswet is so down to earth and just a sweet guy, and that he embodies the character so well. He wouldn't reveal any details about the costume, but other than to say that he is the most mobile of any of the other suits he's worn. And he has been the stunt double for Chris Hemsworth in Thor and in Halo. He was Master Chief. So he's worn a number of different costumes and things that he's had to be in films doing stunts for. But he does say that being Superman or Superman stunt double is the mountaintop of his career to date, and feels like it's a very, very cool experience, and can't wait for fans to see the film when it's released in 2025. So you can check out that video interview on our website. It's up there on the front page right now.
Yeah, that was a neat little, I'm glad it broke before the show and not after, because that's usually how it works. So,
yeah. Now moving on to the television side of things, we got some photos from Canadagraph, sneak some images from sets and things, especially when they are in Canada, and that's where Superman and Lois is filming. And they got some interesting photos from what appear to be probably the finale of the series, showing Tyler Hoechlin there with some blood and scars and things on his face. That's an interesting photo. But more interesting is this wall mural from Smallville saying celebrating 25 years of Steelworks Industries, with an image of, looks like a very steel modern comic book thing with the S on his costume. If steel has been around for 25 years, are we getting not a flashback, but a flash forward?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. It's the last episode, going back and forth in time. I do also like the fact that you have the Smallville water tower screams the TV series for me for some reason. Is that a new belt on Tyler?
Tyler? I just sort of noticed that their car is upside down in that photo, but didn't even notice that the first time. That kind of struck me. I was like, I don't know. Is that a new belt, or is it just the lighting of? But that is a bit different.
That's very yellowish. It breaks up the costume a lot more than the previous, like the red belt did. So not that I'm complaining. I'm not emotionally ready for this show to be over. I realize that when I've been seeing all of the updates of season 4. I love this show so much. It has become my favorite live action version of Superman, which, you know, at age 48, that's
a lot.
It's kind of weird that it's a newer thing. But, you know, these things happen, and I'd rather it go out on top than, you know, drag on and just the fans start hate watching it because that's what fans do. I mean, look what happened to the CW.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, well, we don't know when exactly Superman and Lois, the fourth and final season, will air, but we do think it will be September, October. So we will give you an exact premiere date once we know any further details. But let's move on to the other television news that we have, and that was that Adult Swim released a short 15-second teaser for the upcoming second season of My Adventures with Superman. Check it out.
Hello! Revenge of you. There is another like you. We are running out of time.
There you have it. Very short, very quick. At least Jor-El's speaking English now.
Yes. Maybe he's been picking up Kryptonian in its translation just for us. There's another like you. That's an interesting tidbit, and very brainiac-ish in the images that's been released. So I'm excited for the show coming back. We sang its praises when it was on the first season. So I'm just super. I was about to say I'm super excited. Really, is that really what I'm doing? Yes, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking when he says there's another like you, I know a lot of fans are speculating, even now in the comments, that it might be Kara, Supergirl, but I'm thinking it's more either Zod or Brainiac or something along those lines, but probably Zod.
I would want to do Supergirl in the third season, and it's not that I dislike the character. I just think I want to get more of Superman established before we start bringing in the spinoff characters. Yeah. And Zod is just a much better a much better choice. Having Zod and Brainiac is kind of like the best of both worlds, in all honesty.
Agreed. Well, we don't have a exact premiere date, but we do assume that it's coming soon. So stay tuned for more details about My Adventures with Superman Season 2. All right, let's get into our break. We're going to play a few messages, and then we'll have Mark Lax joining us for our analysis of the Bob Holiday costume in Part 3 of our Superman costume analysis series. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back with that and the fan favorite segment. Also, the not super secret soundbite this week. We'll do that in the next show. We've got This Week in History. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
We'll be back in a moment with the exciting climax of today's episode. So stand by.
If you're enjoying Superman Homepage Live, then please like and share this video with your family and friends. Also, if you'd like to subscribe to our YouTube channel, then you can click on the bell to receive notifications whenever we post a new video. You can also join our YouTube membership program, just click the join button below. Or you can become a patron and support our website by going to patreon.com/supermanhomepage.
Up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, it's SupermanHomepage.com, the number one Superman fan site in the world. SupermanHomepage.com, covering the world of Superman from the 1930s to today. News, reviews, rumors, and reports. SupermanHomepage.com for all your Superman comics, TV shows, movies, cartoons, radio shows, and more. Everything you ever wanted to know about the Man of Steel and more. SupermanHomepage.com.
Thanks, Superman Homepage, for all the support over the years. I really appreciate it.
I'm Matt Ballmer. I'm the voice of Superman and Superman Unbound, and this is the Superman Homepage.
Right here on Superman Homepage.
Hi, Steven. This is Lois Lane from the Daily Planet.
Do you want to start a video podcast but don't know where to start? Or maybe you've been podcasting for a while but you're bored with the traditional audio-only format. Either way, I've got just the thing. Ecamm Live is the number one choice for busy podcasters who want to easily create professional-looking video podcasts. But why? They're more engaging for your audience, and video keeps their attention, so they're more likely to stick around and become part of your community. Let me show you just how easy it is with Ecamm Live. You can drag and drop graphics right onto your show to make it more professional. If you have a co-host or guests, bringing them onto your show is a breeze. You can even tweak the look of your guest video no matter where they are. And you can set up your scenes in advance, so when your show starts, you can play your intro and easily switch between your scenes during the show. So it really simplifies your workflow and eliminates the need for a bunch of editing. Plus, your isolated audio tracks are saved right onto your computer along with your high-quality video files. So there's no more waiting for a link to download your files. They're right there. And once you're done, you can upload it to your syndication platform. It's time to give your audience what they really want. So if you're ready to become a visual authority and take your podcast to the next level with video, join the Ecamm fam. Thousands of podcasters have already made the switch. We're just waiting on you.
Go to supermanhomepage.com/Ecamm.
As the airline that flies to more countries than any other, Turkish Airlines is pleased to announce a new destination. Metropolis. A city reborn, rebuilt, and stronger than ever. Proud of its heritage and its heroes.
Well, thanks to LexCorp's substantial contribution, Metropolis is now open for business again.
Come visit the city of tomorrow. Today.
We can't wait to welcome you.
Book your flight now on Turkish Airlines.
And we're back on Superman Homepage Live, where I am about to bring in our good friend Mark Lax, who has been my co-host for a couple of weeks now while Michael has been away, and there he is right there. Welcome, Mark.
Here he is.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. And yourself?
Oh, not too bad, Mike. Great to have you back.
Dude, thank you for doing all the hard work that you've been doing. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, thank you.
All right, well, guys, let's jump into part three of our Superman costume analysis, where this week we are going to be looking at the costume of Bob Holiday, Superman from the 1966 Broadway musical, It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. And the show ran for, I think it was a number of weeks on Broadway before being finalized, but obviously it was a time when Batman was on the big screen, or on the small screen, with the 1966 Batman TV series. So I think that kind of took the limelight from the superhero point of view. But let's have a look at the costume. So there we have Bob Holiday in all his glory. Obviously, most of the images we have are black and white, but we do have some color photos. But let's go through it. Looking from head to toe. Let's start with the cape like we usually do. And just looking at the cape here, we can see obviously the costume is very nice, red, blues, and yellows. The cape comes up to just the top of the knee, not as low as the George Reeves cape, but obviously not as long as the Man of Steel Henry Cavill cape. What do we think? Do we like where it sits as far as how far down the leg it falls? Mark? Oh, did we lose Mark? Yeah, it looks like we lost Mark. What about you, Michael? I'll get Mark back on.
I'm not a big fan of the short cape. However, I think probably for the stage, since it was going to be, you know, it's on Broadway, so it's not like a movie where it's like really up close. I think it probably looks a lot better from a distance. Plus, it's pretty much closer to the comics at the time. So, you know, if we're going to complain about, you know, deviating from the source material, I guess we can't complain when they actually do the source material on the stage.
Exactly. And I like the way that the cape comes in under the top of the costume. It doesn't sit on the shoulders like the Kirk Allen one did, but it actually tucks in underneath the collar and then comes out that way and does go over the shoulders, but still a nice... Nice cape. I quite like it. Maybe a little bit longer. I like it to go probably just to the top of the boots myself, midway through the calf muscle. But it's not a bad cape whatsoever. I don't have any images at the moment to see if it had an S on the back of it, but we'll have a look at that once we go along. Then we get to the body of the costume, and once again, it looks like a woolen type of material. Obviously, Lycra, not necessarily a thing too much back in the mid-60s. I don't know when Lycra was brought about, but this still doesn't look that it's form-fitting, but nevertheless still very much the kind of like a jump, a pullover, a sweater type thing. But yeah, I think it would probably be pretty warm under the lights of a stage.
Yeah. it was probably cotton. As like you said, spandex wasn't really a big thing at the time. It was starting to creep in. But I like the detailing on the cuffs. Kind of similar, not exactly like Kirk Allen's, but there seems to be something more down there than just, you know, it just comes to like the end, like a drawing. So it's a pretty solid body style. I mean, like I said, it kind of looks like the comics of the time come to life.
Yeah, for sure. Now, looking at the S-Shield, just going to zoom in there closer on the body of that suit, that photo. This is a great looking S. It's not as angular on the sides as some of the S symbols we've seen. It looks more rounded, but that could just be the position that he's sitting in here. But it's a great looking S, and it's pretty large across his chest.
Yeah, again, I think one of the big reasons for that is if you're in the cheap seats at the theater, you still want to be able to see the S pretty clearly. So having it that big on his chest would make a lot of sense. It is more rounded. And again, that could be partially, but that seems to be, you know, in the other shots that I've seen of the Bob Holiday costume, that seems to be pretty much generally. And I think maybe that had more to do with his body type and the material than the, like a conscious decision to make it look like that.
Yeah, for sure. So then we move on down to the belt and the trunks here. It's a little bit higher than some of the trunks we've seen, but not as far down at the thigh as Kirk Allen's trunks. They were more like shorts. Yeah, this is pretty much on the mark. And the belt here is interesting because it's got the double oval buckle, not just a single oval like the George Reeves one. It was very much a gold kind of belt, shiny belt buckle. This is very much consistent with the rest of the belt, whether it's leather or plastic or whatever it is. It's the belt buckle is the same material as the rest of the belt. And yeah, we have that double oval shape.
I think one of the reasons why the trunks sit the way they do is just the build of Bob Holliday. It's, I know you haven't talked about it yet, but like you look at Brandon Routh, for example, and the costume that he wore for Superman Returns, it like accentuated the fact that that man was like 30% torso. Whereas Bob Holliday has a more stocky build.
Yeah.
So the trunks are probably going to sit a little higher because of that, because his waist sits higher.
Yeah, exactly. And Mark is having a little bit of technical trouble, so he's just giving us some comments on the side here, saying that he does think that the trunks are fairly faithful to the costume. So he's a fan of the trunks. All right, let's move down to the boots. And this is still very much in the mold of what we saw with both Kirk Allen and George Reeves costumes. We do have that V shape at the front of the shin, which is pretty much stock standard. But again, it looks like that kind of felt type of Robin Hood belt boot, very much like a ballet dancer type feel to it. But yeah, not necessarily like the leather boot that we'll get to see in future costumes.
Yeah, and again, sound like a broken record here. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that it's on the stage. I think a leathery boot would probably be too shiny and probably throw off the look of it. Whereas with the kind of the felt material, the light's going to be consistent when it hits it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the boots to be in that style because I always felt that, like, say, the Brandon Routh boots, when you get to those later on down the track, they're really chunky and hefty. And you go, like, how the heck did Clark Kent ever fit his work shoes over the top of those? Like, where did they come from? Where you could kind of, this is more like a, not a sock, because, you know, you obviously you can't be running around in your socks, but it does have a feel of being a little bit more tight-fitting, form-fitting, and not necessarily a bulky thing that you could actually see someone having these under their dress shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would just be larger size dress shoes than he would normally wear, which would probably make Clark Kent look like he had boat feet. which would probably do better for the secret identity. But I kind of dig this felt look. I'm kind of, as I get older, and you know, we see so many iterations of these costumes, I'm kind of attracted to these like 40s and 50s and 60s versions.
Yeah, me too.
Just because simplicity. They feel closer to the comics of the time period. You know, you look at like Dean Cain's costume, even Brandon Routh's. That's not something you would have seen at the costume in the comics of that time, with the coloring and all that. Oh, that's a sharp. I love, look at those colors popping off of that.
That is a great photo. It's a high res one that I found. And just looking at the face and the head, the hair of Bob Holliday, he definitely had the look. He had that macho type of look about him. He had a pretty strong jawline. He had the hair, the wavy hair with, you know, the spit curl actually looks realistic. It's not faked. You know, it doesn't look like it's been stuck on his forehead. And having met Bob Holliday in his later years, definitely a gentleman. And I always include Bob Holliday in everything we do when we're talking about people who have played Superman, because he definitely has a place in the history of being the only person to have played Superman on Broadway.
Yeah, and it's had a really good baritone voice. Like all I've ever really gotten, because it's all that's really commercially available, was the cast recording. But you know, he definitely had a personality to the character, and it's that's got to be uncomfortable. Having attended a production of it back in 1993, it's a show that's just a lot of fun, and I really kind of regret that they didn't film Broadway all that much at that time period, because having a film of the production would have been great, just on a
Awesome. Would
historical
be
level.
for sure. So overall, I'm going to give this like a 7 or 8 out of 10 because I think it's really true to the comic books of the time, and it's just a great look overall as a Superman costume.
Yeah, Justin Suarez says skinny legs for a stocky heavy man. He skips leg day. It happens. I mean, you're not supposed to, but
It
you know,
happens.
and that was actually very common of men, and like what was considered to be like built in the 60s, that you know, having skinny legs but a big like barrel chest was right on target.
Yeah. So that's our costume analysis for this week. Sorry, Mark, that he was having technical
I feel
problems
so
there,
bad.
but yeah. But you know, at least we had a third wing here this week, with Michael being able to cover. Otherwise, it just would have been me talking about it on my own. So it happens, unfortunately, for Mark this week. But we will get him back in our next part four when we will do. I think we're up to Christopher Reeve for the costume analysis in part four. So we'll get up to that next. All right, let's jump into the fan favorite segment of our show. Here's our intro. All right, so Michael, what was our fan favorite question from last week?
What is your favorite Bizarro comic book cover? And Rommel Katukit, I'm gonna screw it up my first time back. Thanks, Rommel. My fave is Bizarro number one variant by Kyle. Oh, that is, by Kyle Baker, and that is a fantastic cover.
That is an awesome cover. Yes, thank you to Rommel. That is a great cover. I love that one. All right, next up we had JP Roach, who said, my favorite Bizarro cover is from Superman number 87 by Dan Jurgens and Brett Breeding, another classic by Jurgens, and that is an awesome cover.
Absolutely. Lorenzo Valdez wrote in, and he said, much like Otisburg doesn't take up much real estate, it's an itty bitty place on the map in Superman the movie. Bizarro doesn't take up much real estate on this cover, but due to it being an impactful cover for such an impactful story, that being Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow, I nonetheless submit Superman number 423 as my favorite Bizarro cover.
Thank you, Lorenzo. You actually took a photo of it there, and rather than just do the Google thing that most of us do. So thank you, Lorenzo. Kirby Lindell wrote in saying, here are a couple of Bizarro covers that I thought were pretty good. Aren't a lot of great ones there, but these are pretty good. I love the first one with Mixie and the Bizarro family. The second one is pretty good too. Beautiful art by Kurt Swan. So yeah, just a variety of different covers. So thank you very much to Kirby.
Elliot Quadrado wrote in and said, my favorite Bizarro comic book cover would have to be Action Comics number 785. The awkward stance, the green background, the smile, backwards speak, and the necklace around his neck tells you all you need to know about this anti-hero clone of Superman. It is so backwards that the S shield is wrong.
It's just, yeah, it's
And
what the
the
hell's going on there?
no, the
It's,
triangle number is wrong.
yeah, oh, it's, oh, there you go. Not what
Yeah,
number should it have been.
that is the last month of the triangles that cover comes
Ah,
from.
there you
And
go.
they screwed it up.
As you do. So there you have it. Wow, there you go. So that's the fan favorite segment. I didn't ask you, Michael, because we haven't had a chat much before we got onto tonight's show, but did you have a favorite Bizarro cover?
I would
Edward
have
McGuinness is always a good choice.
Chosen that one mainly because it's a mirror of the Superman cover from that same month, which is Superman's back.
Yeah.
And then you have Bizarro saying "me back." I think that was coordinated as a visual gag. But no, I think Ed McGuinness draws probably my favorite Bizarro, just in general. I think just the way he draws that character, I respond to more than any other, because it's not completely comedic, but it's not like the monster like Adam Kubert's was. Yeah. So it's a nice middle ground there.
Yeah, Adam Kubert's was really horrific. So that was the fan favorite segment of our show. What is our new question for this next show, Michael?
Oh, this is going to be a good one. What is your favorite Metallo comic book cover? That is going to be less of a selection, I think. Mm-hmm. There's not a whole lot of Metallo covers.
So yeah, we might get a few double ups, but get involved in the fan favorite segment of our show. Send your emails to info@supermanhomepage.com and we will check out those covers those covers of Metallo when we get back to the show next time around. Remember, not show next week, the week after. So we'll be back in early May for that segment. All right, well, let's jump into This Week in History. And thankfully, Michael is back and taking it off my hands so I can sit back and just pop up the images for him.
Come with me now, my son, as we break through the bars of your earthly confinement, traveling through time and space.
All right, we're jumping all the way to 1964 for this first one with the Giant Superboy Annual Number 1, which was one of the 80-page Giants. Which has probably one of my favorites, How Superboy Learned to Fly. The balloons, the balloons are just cute. I just love it. I really do. Keeping with Superboy, we're going to go to 1974 with Superboy number 203, starring the Legion of Superheroes, not quite Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes yet, Massacre by Remote Control. In 1984, a bit of a interesting selection here. Action Comics number 557, which is a Terra Man cover. Very cool Eduardo Barreto cover there. You have Superpowers number 1. This was the tie-in to the action figure line of the time with art by Jack Kirby. And World's Finest number 305, because it's just not a good era for World's Finest. I keep saying that. I know.
What happened to Superman's face? It's popped off.
I don't know what's going on here. I mean, look at Batman. He's not doing much better. I mean, at least they're not like water skiing or something.
And, that's true. Like,
wasting their time. 1994, we have Adventures of Superman number 513. We are deep into the Battle of Metropolis now. And that is that Superman has not been skipping any day at the gym.
even his hair's got muscles.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love it. And Steel number 5 came out this week, which that's an interesting cover. I like that Steel costume, though. It's probably my favorite armor of his. In 2004, has this really been 20 years, Steve?
Wow.
Has it been really two decades since Action Adventures 627 when we're getting into the Greg Rucka run?
It's just nuts. Oh. Blows the mind.
Yeah. And you got Superman Batman number 9, which is, you know, part of the Supergirl, bringing back Supergirl. So she's been, the Kara Zor-El's been back for 20 years. Superman Secret Identity number 4. Which is going to get reprinted in just a couple months in the Superman by Kurt Busiek trade paperback. Yep. And this one's a little weird because it's not the same release date, but this is Teen Titans 1/2. And this was something Wizard Magazine did back in the day. And basically you would cut out something in the comic and it was an exclusive comic published by DC and Wizard that wasn't sent to comic shops normally. Thankfully, these are getting reprinted in the more recent trade paperbacks. But for a while, these were kind of a thing, and Superboy's there on the cover, so that's why I included it. Jumping up to 2014, we got Batman Superman number 9 with a Jay Lee cover. This is part of that storyline where Superman and Batman meet up with the Earth 2 characters for the first time that they remember. Because the first storyline had them meeting and then they forgot, of course. Secret Secret Origins number one. You remember reading this, Steve?
Vaguely. I remember the cover. You know, you got Jor-El and Lara there in the background. But yeah, it doesn't spring to mind.
I reread it a couple months ago. It's not that good.
Okay.
I hate to say that. And Superman number... Okay, this is funny that we're 10 years out from Super Doom.
Already?
Yeah, but remember how big of a deal this was? We were really excited for this.
Why?
Because there was nothing else going on with Superman in the New 52.
Fair enough. Makes sense. Slim pickings.
It really was. But this is like, we're now tripping into that time period where we were doing a show at the time period that the comics were coming out.
Wow.
Real World, April 22nd, which is today, Cassidy Freeman, former Tess Mercer and current on the Righteous Gemstones, mother to Jimmy Olsen, was born in 1982. April 23rd, Cal Penn was born in 1977. April 24th, we got Jack Quaid, voice of Superman on My Adventures of Superman, born in 1992. Okay. Richard Donner was also born on that day in 1930, director of Superman the movie and parts of Superman 2. And Stacy Height. It's okay.
I don't have Stacy's either. What am I doing? I'm really missing out on a couple of days there.
You're really missing out on Stacey Heideck.
Yeah.
She was born in 1968. And then this was the weird one. This is Deborah Wilson. She's the voice of Amanda Waller on My Adventures of Superman. She was born on April 26th. I have no year. I could not find a year. It's not on Wikipedia and it's not on any other website. So,
well, she's hiding her age.
And Tom Welling was born on April 26th, Clark Kent and Superman on Smallville, born in 1977, making him the first Superman that was younger than me by a year, but still younger than me. And that's really kind of weird.
That is weird. So thank you. That was This Week in History. Thank you, Michael. Awesome. Sorry, I didn't have some of those images. You know, when I knew you were coming back, I just kind of sat back and did nothing.
That's fine.
Just quickly, the Superman Metropolis, Illinois, Superman Celebration, Metropolis, Illinois guests have been announced for this year. And some interesting ones. We've got Elizabeth Tulloch, Bitsy Tulloch, who plays Lois Lane on Superman and Lois. She'll be visiting for the first time. Only on the Saturday she'll be there. Brandon Routh is going back. Again, he'll only be there on the Saturday. And Mark Pillow, who was... Nuclear Man, he'll be there for all 3 days of the celebration. Gil Adler, who is a producer on Superman Returns, he will be there on June 8th only. So limited appearances. I won't be traveling for the 3 days, just from Australia to America for that. Not this year anyway, but I hope that those who do go enjoy themselves.
You know, with the advent of, I know AI is controversial. I think Mark Pillow is missing something by not like having his voice dubbed over with Gene Hackman when he makes public appearances. Because I'm sure people are freaked out by like hearing his natural voice.
I'm sure they are. Probably like our good friend who played Clark Kent in Superman the movie.
Yeah. Jeff East.
Jeff East. All right. Well, that pretty much brings us to the end of tonight's show. I want to thank my co-host, Michael Bailey, for joining me once again after a couple of weeks. Thank you, Michael. Good to have you back.
Oh, it is a super pleasure to be back. I've missed this camaraderie and talking to the people and holy crap, the number of people that watch.
It's great.
Numbers are amazing.
And thank you to Mark Lax, who's brief, but... always great to see him. Brief appearance tonight. He'll be back next time, just having some technical problems. But thank you to Mark. I had his name on the bottom there as a token. Thank you, Mark. But thank you to our sponsors and patrons, Douglas Mitchum, John Patrick Van Pelt, and Tina Murray. We appreciate your support. Thank you to everyone who was watching us live tonight. We appreciate your company for this past hour. We'll be back in early May for our next show. So no show next week, no show on Monday, April 29th, due to work happening here at my place. So we'll be back the week after that. But make sure you check out supermanhomepage.com for all your daily news updates on everything surrounding the Man of Steel. I'm Steve Yunus. On behalf of myself and Michael Bailey, thanks for watching Superman Homepage Live, brought to you by supermanhomepage.com. Good night.